So good morning. As Bill mentioned, I'm part of the Leadership Development Network in our classes, which is a regional group of Christian Reformed churches. And at LDN, we study Bible and theology, as well as ministry skills. And one of the ministry skills we studied this year was writing and preaching a sermon. So I've just completed year two, so I have one more to go. And I'm really, really enjoying the study. Joining us this morning are several people from my class, and I want to welcome you and thank you for coming and thank you for your support. Also want to thank the elders for this opportunity to open God's Word with you. One of the books we studied was 1 Peter, and this letter of Peter has really stuck with me, especially 1 Peter 2:11 and 12, which is the verses we'll be focusing on. I've spent a lot of time thinking about these verses, and they've become my lens through which I look at issues and culture. It's been a privilege to dig deeper into these verses in preparation for today's message. And this passage is so rich. I kept thinking of things I wanted to put in, and it's more than one sermon, actually, that's in these eight verses. I heartily recommend that you read all of 1 Peter, because I think it has a lot to say to us for today. Before we read the passage, here's some background. 1 Peter 1:1 tells us this letter is written to believers in the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, which was in northern Asia Minor, now modern-day Turkey. He was writing to churches of mostly Gentile believers, although there would have been some Jewish believers there as well. These believers were suffering persecution, and Peter writes to encourage them, to tell them how to live holy lives amid the suffering, and to point them to the model that they have in Jesus Christ. It's a letter dealing with the true grace of God and the hope they have in their salvation. So let's open our Bibles or our electronic devices or whatever you have to 1 Peter 2, verses 4 through 12. So 1 Peter 2, verses 4 through 12. And it's a little hard to find, so it's after Hebrews and then the short book of James and then 1 Peter. And I'd like to invite Wilma forward to read the scripture passage.
As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, the stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us."
Imagine with me for a moment what it must be like to live in your own country, but not really belong. To no longer participate in the main society's culture, to lose family and friends, homes, possessions, and business opportunities. This is the situation that Hadi Ali and his family of nine find themselves. There's a picture of Hadi and his wife and two of his kids. They're Iraqis from South Baghdad. They fled to northern Iraq when they were threatened at gunpoint by ISIS fighters. Ali says, "They took our homes and our money. We don't know when we will go back. I always think of going back once peace comes. I wish it were tomorrow. But we don't know the future. I'm waiting for God," says Ali. He is one of 4.5 million internally displaced people in Syria and Iraq. So internally displaced means they've had to leave their homes, their villages, their cities, but they're still living in the country. And these displaced people in Syria and Iraq are among the millions of refugees around the world forced to flee their country, forced to live in refugee camps, or sometimes finding new homes in new countries. There are foreigners in that country. They long to return home, but that may never be possible. They live in exile. You can take the picture down. Some of us know that reality all too well. We too have had to flee our homeland. We know what it means to be in a new country, unfamiliar with its language and culture. Some of us long to go home, knowing that it may never be possible. Others are working hard to make Canada our new home, never forgetting the home we left. Many of us are immigrants or have been impacted by immigration, like first-generation Canadians. And we can also think of the residents of Fort McMurray, who for now are internally displaced peoples. They've had to leave their city. In chapter 2, verse 11, Peter addresses his readers as foreigners and exiles. Another translation uses the term resident alien, which I kind of like too, so I'm going to end up mixing them up a bit, I think. While we generally understand an exile to be someone who is forced to leave their homeland and live in a strange country, these believers that 1 Peter is addressing had not left their country. By calling them foreigners and exiles, Peter is saying they should not view this world as their home. In reality, they are citizens of two worlds, the kingdom here on earth and the kingdom in heaven. Philippians 3:20 says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus praying for his disciples in John 17:14 and 15 says, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. They are not of this world any more than I am of this world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one." By coming down from heaven to earth to save us, Jesus became a resident alien. He did this so that we can have a home in the new heaven and earth. Following his example, we too are resident aliens. The believers Peter addressed still lived in the physical world. They still worked, ate, had families, and all the other joys and sorrows of living here on earth. Yet, their values and beliefs were that of the kingdom of heaven, and that affected their behavior drastically. 1 Peter 4, 3 through 4 describes this change. "For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you." The kind of abuse that believers faced was anything from verbal abuse, discrimination, economic hardship, and sometimes physical abuse. They found themselves ostracized from communities and families they had belonged to. To become a Christian at that time was to risk a great deal. One could count on suffering because of the name of Jesus Christ. Peter doesn't stop with simply describing the reality of their situation. He goes on to instruct them in verse 11 on how to live as exiles in their own country by abstaining from sinful desires. Sinful desires can sound fairly benign. However, it is referring to deep passions that were part of their lives before their salvation. In chapter 2:1, Peter gives examples of such sinful desires. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. These sinful desires are in conflict with one's soul, one's own unique identity and personhood in Christ. Let's go back and look at verse 4 of chapter 2. As you come to him, that is Jesus Christ, the living stone rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, namely the body of Christ, to be a holy priesthood. A little further on, Jesus is called the cornerstone, the most important part of the foundation of a building in that time. With Jesus as our foundation, we receive a new identity. As verse 9 says, we are a chosen people, a whole royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into wonderful light. To live then as believers is to reject the sinful desires and live according to the identity given by God, an identity rooted in kingdom values, beliefs, and behaviors that is different from the non-believers around them. Peter then goes on to exhort them to live good lives. Look at verse 12. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they may accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Here too, Peter makes it clear in other verses what a good life should look like. In chapter 4 again, this time verses 7 through 11, Peter explains, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you might pray. Above all, love each other because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Living like foreigners and exiles in one's own country is a very difficult thing to do, yet it is not without a purpose. Peter states that even though living good lives may lead to suffering, the unbelievers will nevertheless see their good deeds. That no matter the accusation, the accuser is still confronted with someone who chooses to live differently than the culture around them. More importantly, there is the possibility to tell others about Christ, that they too may become believers. As I've read and reflected about the believers in Peter's day being foreigners and exiles in their own country, I began to reflect on our own lives as believers in Canada. Are we also refugees, exiles, or resident aliens in our own country? Does Peter's letter also help us to live in today's culture? I believe it does. There seems to be a growing consensus that we are now living in a post-Christian culture. Not all that long ago, Christian values were by and large the same as the values of the culture. That has been slowly changing. No longer are the values of the culture those that God has called us to. The question becomes, are we living good lives that cause people to stop and reflect, or even to ask what makes us different from the others? Are our lives giving praise to God? Perhaps it was clearer in Peter's day because Roman society was so very different from that of the church. Now the changes have been happening slowly, it appears to be more insidious. I think of a frog put in a pot of cold water that is slowly heated, and he isn't aware of it. That can happen to us. We can be slowly changed by the non-Christian culture around us and not even be aware of it. We need God's wisdom and discernment to untangle ourselves from the culture around us. Let me give some examples. While this is sort of a long list, it still does not cover every way we are influenced or how our values and actions as believers may be different. One area that immediately comes to mind is media of all kinds. Books, advertising, movies, TV shows, music, and social media all reflect today's culture for the most part. The media portrays views about being male and female, about youth and singles, marriage and family, life and death. The views are often in conflict with what the Bible teaches. By absorbing these views, the way we view ourselves, each other, and the world around us is influenced. I enjoy watching medical dramas on TV. I also have certain kingdom values about life and death. For several weeks in a row, a particular show I was watching was dealing with issues surrounding life and death. It was pulling me in emotionally, and I found myself questioning what I believed God had said about life and death. It happened so gradually. I was so surprised when I realized what had happened that I decided I needed to stop watching this show. I also realized that I need to engage media with a critical and discerning mind, that of a foreigner and exile. Another trend I've noticed in this past year as I've read blogs, articles, and magazines has been a growing conversation about how busy we are. For some people, it has become a definition of success, a badge of honor. When asked, "How are you doing?" the reply is, "Oh, I'm so busy, so very busy." How easy it might be to get caught up into having to do more in order to be or appear successful. Yet God says to us in Psalm 46:10 to be still and know that I am God. Be still. God invites us to embrace his identity for us as chosen people, God's special possession. To be successful in God's economy is to be humble and loving, to live life the way Jesus did, with the people on the fringes and the outcasts. In Pastor Yo's series on the Sermon on the Mount, we've had other examples of kingdom values. Changing our values also changes our behavior. Because of who we are in Christ Jesus, we have the opportunity to no longer live lives of jealousy, envy, anger, or greed. How we socialize and party with family and friends, colleagues and classmates may change. How we talk about and to others is filled with the love of Jesus Christ. We can begin to see all people, regardless of race, religion, sexual identity, or income status, as people created in the image of God. Perhaps we become more concerned about social justice issues. Let me use the example of homelessness and poverty. Since we believe all people are created in the image of God, that includes the panhandler on the street. While there are different ideas about whether to give money or not, we can treat them with the respect and dignity they deserve as God's image bearers. Even simply looking them in the eye and saying hi shows them that they are not invisible. And I understand from my reading that that can be very important to them. This is a simple illustration that shows the link between kingdom values and action. We know there is increasing hostility to our belief that Christ is the way, only way to God through salvation, by believing in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because of that belief, we may also hold different beliefs from the culture around us. Christians today are increasingly being ostracized from society and subject to ridicule. Perhaps some of you have already experienced this. Yet this is not a bad news, full of fear story. We can gain much comfort from the whole of 1 Peter, which addresses the suffering we may experience because of Jesus Christ. Peter talks about how Jesus Christ is our model for how to endure suffering. Our hope is not in this world, but in the world to come. We can live as resident aliens, secure in our identity in Christ as God's special and chosen people. Therefore, our lives look different, so that people around us will not only see the good, but perhaps also ask us why we are different, so that we have the chance to tell them about the gospel. We need to live lives that are completely surrendered to God so that he may use us to bring about his kingdom. It is only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can live lives as foreigners and exiles. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for sending Jesus Christ as our example of how to live as resident aliens on this earth. We acknowledge that we cannot live as exiles without surrendering our lives totally to you. We need you, Holy Spirit, to give us courage and strength to stand out in this culture, because we believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. Give us wisdom to discern when we are being taken in by the culture around us and how to live with kingdom values. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.